Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Where he's playing with other scores and then he can let the game come to him. I don't think you can really rightly judge him at all.
How do you see that? How do you break out of a slump if you're a young guy? Because obviously, Kerr's not going to go over to him and get on him about it. That's not going to help anybody. So what would your advice be to a young guy if you saw him struggling like that?
You got to keep shooting, but you got to shoot with belief. A lot of guys, they say, keep shooting, and they're just shooting, but you see them hesitate a second, and they just don't believe necessarily it's going in. You got to shoot, and you got to believe that it's going in. You got to shoot with that, hey, look, I know I can make this shot, and move in a little bit further. Try to change it up. Try to switch what you're doing. Try to get a little closer. Get the layups, then move out a little bit further. Pick your spot. You watch Kawhi Leonard. When he struggles, you see what this guy's able to do. He's able to get to what spot he wants on the floor, where his percentage rate goes up, and that's where he's very, very dominant at. A lot of great players, they say, okay, if I'm off, let me get my spot. If I get to my spot, I know, let me start working on that. He used to play pig or play, you work outside shooting a shot. You get in close, start shooting. Once you feel comfortable, you start backing up a little bit further from the rim. That's what you do. And it's like in a game, when your shot's not dropping like you want it to drop, you find a spot where you've been practicing at, get to there, and you start making that happen. That becomes reality, and then you start moving around. So that's what he has to do, because the guy we know can shoot, just got to find his rhythm.
Here is Steve Kerr after the game talking about Jordan Poole's struggles.
It's a blessing and a curse to be in the position Jordan's in, because he's going to play no matter what. We only have nine guys. Everyone's going to play. And so that's a blessing on one hand. It's a curse in that, you know, he can be a little overwhelmed out there too. You know, he's not quite seeing the pictures yet at both ends. He's got to be a step quick, and that will all come. He's going through the normal trials and tribulations of a rookie, but we're throwing him into the fire because of all the injuries. So there's some good there and some bad.
Again, you'd rather have this scenario for struggles than, well, we're trying to compete for a one seed and the minutes he has coming off the bench are ice cold minutes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like now if it's cold, it's all right. He's cold. We can let him shoot his way through it. If it's late March and you're trying to find your way to the two seed or the one seed and he's coming off the bench and he's killing you because he can't knock down a bucket, then you got an issue.
Yeah, and the biggest issue for me is how long can he keep this confidence? Because you watch him play, Joe, and he's playing like he's a kid playing at the YMCA. He's playing with pure joy. He's not letting his struggles affect him at all. He's not turning down open looks. He's just out there playing. And so I hope he's able to keep that same attitude, that same countenance. Because if you look at the NBA rookie stats right now, three of the top 15 in rookie field goal attempts are Golden State Warriors. It's Pascal, it's Poole, and it's Kai Bowman. These guys are going to play. So as much as you're struggling, you can't let the stats affect you. You got to still go out there and do what you can. Because Steve Kerr said, we got nine healthy bodies. They're going to play, all these rookies.
How about Alec Burks last night? It feels like we can kind of get wide receiver roulette going, which we have today at 8:45. We could kind of do wide receiver roulette for like the leading scorer on the Warriors. You never know who it's going to be, so we could draft someone every night. 28 points on 10 of 18 shooting, 8 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals. He's plus 2. When he was on the court, the Warriors were actually outscoring the Rockets last night. I don't know what it means for the future. I'm not going to sit here and project, but that's a hell of a performance.
Well, me and Dibs yesterday, we talked about, hey, there's got to be guys other than Pascal that can step up. Who's it going to be? And so happened, you have different guys at different times that's going to step up different nights. And that's what you want to see. Show that you belong. And Pascal, yeah, we talked about his numbers. What's it going to be? You set the number at 25. Dibs and I both said the under. But he still played well. He still showed you that, hey, got him out there by the three-point line. He pumps, gets big man up in there, drives to the hoop, boom, double pumps it, throws it down, raises the roof on the road. He's playing with excitement and joy. So when you see these guys starting to do that, see guys coming off the bench, only playing 31 minutes, you know, and still was able to go out there and get you 20, you know, 28 points, that's what you want to see. You want to see different guys step up and do those things. So you look at it, who's next? Which young guy, who's next this next game?
I'd say this. The Warriors got a first-class lesson in transition defense last night. You notice if they get near the bucket and a couple guys get too close and they're all trying to tip it in, one falls down, Rockets get the rebound, especially when Russ was on the court, it's a jailbreak the other way. I mean, they are gone. There is one where Russ led a 4-on-1. It happened so fast, it was a 4-on-1. Russ ended up getting fouled and then missed both 3 free throws, so there wasn't any punishment on it. But the way they broke out, you're watching the young guy. I can't remember who it was that missed the shot, but he's on the court. He's on the ground trying to get up. Someone's trying to help him up, and before you realize that the Rockets are moving so fast, they had a true 4-on-1. I mean, that team, they can move when they want to.
Yeah, and that's the interesting part about Houston is they really are two teams. When Westbrook is on the floor, they play a lot faster. When it's just Harden without Westbrook, they play the same old plodding, methodical, kind of go through Harden offensive approach. So it's always interesting to watch when the two of them are on the floor together versus when just one of them's on the court.
And you know, without a doubt, Daniel, that the coach right there at the Rockets, he said, look, guys, we know what this team can do. Hey, look, they want you to think that you underestimate them. Look, let's respect them. This is the NBA. Anything can happen. You know what? You go ask Portland what happened. Portland came out flat. They were able to jump on them. Let's not make that same mistake. And you saw that first quarter, very, very competitive. Rockets got them in that last second quarter, kind of imposed their will a bit. Besides that, the game was very, very competitive. So you look at this team, what they're doing, watching them grow up in front of our eyes, you want to see that because you want to see a team move forward, continue to compete, because we know this is going to be a long season.
While that game was taking place, the rest of the country, when focused on the NBA, was outraged over the fact that the biggest game of the night was supposed to be Milwaukee at Los Angeles to take on the Clippers. Giannis versus Kawhi, a rematch, the first time they go against each other since last year's Eastern Conference Finals. Turned out to be a hell of a game. Milwaukee 129, Clippers 124. The problem, however, is that Kawhi Leonard didn't play. Again, the 8th game of the season, the nationally televised marquee game of the night, load management. Leonard has now sat 2 of 8 games into the season. This is to be expected, but you've got a situation brewing now where people are irate. The networks want him to play because they've invested a lot of money in the product. Adam Silver, the commissioner, is obviously going to feel the pressure because they're going to have another TV deal coming up, and they're going to have another collective bargaining agreement coming up. And I'm sure the players are going to sit down and go, we want more money. It's like, well, yeah, we want more games, not more games added to the schedule. We don't want you sitting out these games. ESPN is not going to hand us $1 billion so that they can air marquee games without marquee players. So that's going to be a big problem moving forward. What I ask is, are you that irate like people were yesterday that Leonard sat? And then do you have any possible solution for how to fix this thing? Because I came up with something last night that might mitigate the damage. We on Joe Lo and Dibs like to bring solutions to the table.
Right.
We're not going to complain and then walk away. We're going to bring solutions. So I think I might have one.
I'm not that irate by people sitting out, players sitting out, because it's been happening for a lot longer than people want to admit. When a superstar sits out, everyone's outraged. Ultimately, if you're a basketball fan, you go to watch the basketball game. And if the marquee attraction isn't playing, hopefully you're a good enough fan to where you can still enjoy the product as it's being put out. Over the past 5 years, only on average 22 players played all 82 games. If you go back in history, in 2000, 58 players played all 82 games.
So last year it was how many played all 82?
It was 21.
And then you go back to 2000 and it jumps to
58.
Okay.
So
okay,
triple more than the number. And that's just guys playing all 82.
Right.
The mode, as we continue to get mathematical on this program,
dude,
of players playing, you know, how many games they play, that number's gone way down as well. So it's not like this happened overnight. And it doesn't really affect me as a fan.
Now, if you were going to that game last night, you're taking your kid, you're not upset Kawhi's not playing?
I'm probably a little annoyed, but it's not that big of a deal.
Not that big of a deal.
No, because I would raise my kid to be a fan of the product and of the game, not just the one player.
Okay, interesting. Do you see it the same way? Now, you never really had this opportunity in football to take a day off, but do you think the younger guys are soft that they're doing this now, or is it smart?
Well, I think that you look at just not just the players, but the coaches and the organizations, they both understand what's at stake. And it's about championship. And these guys, you look at it, and you look at the guys that are doing it. Most of the times, the big-name guys that are doing it, they're older guys that's been in the association for a while. You look at guys like Kyrie coming off the bad knee. So you're going to limit the amount of games that they play on.
Makes sense.
And so I think that's what a lot of people have to realize, who the guys are. What do they mean to the association? Because like Dibs just alluded to, only 22 guys played 82 games last year. And no one's talking about those other guys. It's just the big name guys that have such a sphere of influence on the game.
It's also the fact that they're not doing it in a smart way. I'm sure Kawhi does this because it drums up his interest, supply and demand, right? We want more Kawhi. It's a smart business tactic from an economic standpoint. But if you're going to do this, right, do it on Monday night against Monday Night Football when you're playing Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Don't always circle the most marquee of games that month to take off. That's his big thing. He's always taking off the biggest games, which is what draws all that attention. Remember when the Warriors did that in a game? I can't remember. It's like 2 or 3 years ago they had a game where they rested some guys, but it was supposed to be like an OKC showdown.
It was the Spurs, I believe. Wasn't it against the Spurs? When they rested everybody.
And the Spurs did the same thing.
Right.
So all the stars were taken out of that game, and that's what got the networks involved, where it's like, dude, we can't. What do you need? And then they adjusted the schedule. Then they adjusted the schedule. The key with this is don't bring so much attention to it. If Leonard played last night but doesn't play the next game out and they're playing, I don't know, Cleveland, no one's going to care. No one's going to notice. But to do it on a night when there's no NFL, there's no World Series, it's just, you know, you're the big game in town and you take off, you're drawing unnecessary heat.
Yeah, the NBA is going to have to figure out in the next collective bargaining agreement if they want to do away with back-to-backs entirely. And I know that that does a lot for the schedule as far as stretching it out, but you don't see a lot of load management in situations outside of back-to-backs. First half, second half of a back-to-back. They've already gotten rid of the 4 and 5 nights. Now you'll get 3 and 4 nights occasionally, or 3 and 5 nights. But the NBA is going to have to decide what they want to do with the schedule, because players are going to continue to sit out when you have these back-to-backs.
So I think I have a potential solution. Go ahead, Lo.
I was going to tell Dibs, he knows, like, we're in the hallway, all of a sudden he'll hit me, or I'll hit him, and he just...
Untrue.
He'll act like a
sounds hook. Like a salt and battery.
Yeah,
I will like, feign like I will hit him,
and all of a sudden
that's assault.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm like, ah, I'm hurt. If you know that you want certain guys not to play, there's so many ways you go out there, Joe, and make it look good for the fans. Go out there if Kawhi, you know, docking him exactly.
My cap's tightened
right
up.
And now they get the what's Kawhi's doubtful to return. At least people are like, man, is he okay? There's so many different ways they can handle, like you alluded to make it look better.
I think he does it intentionally, though. They want to be like, yeah, this is how I roll. I don't have to play in this game. Y'all need me more than I need you.
Kawhi's
you
know never saying? Played Uncle 75 Dennis. Games in a season. And Kawhi's a guy who's been doing this his whole career. So to be surprised suddenly and to be outraged, you're missing the boat. He played 64, 58, 66, 64. And some of that's due to injury. And, of course, he played 9 with the Spurs when he went into shutdown mode. But you shouldn't be surprised that this player is missing this number of games.
888-957-9570 if you want to get involved. 888-957-9570.
But with that, though, then wouldn't he be labeled as injury prone? Because before last season, that's what everybody was calling him, that he was an injury prone player.
You still want him on your team?
Now we do, but back then, how many people were like, oh, would you want Kawhi? You know, he's injury prone. That was a question that we had about him.
Yeah, but I get understanding your point, though. You make sense there, but I just think that if it's not all the time, all of a sudden he goes up and you go up and you bang into a guy and his shoulder hurts. You come out.
There you go.
Okay. He comes out. It's not, you know, you come back the
next
night.
Punch a pig and then say, oh, I got hurt in practice.
Absolutely.
Cincinnati, you're on the hook for this financially.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if anyone ever thought about doing that.
That's creative.
Yeah, that's a creative way to get hurt. Odd way to get hurt when you're a pro athlete. But
I'm leaving it.
415, show an auto body, text line 95795, Family Guy skin knee. Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing. Good call. That's a good call. I think I might have a way to try to improve upon the situation.
Okay.
I tried to figure this out last night. Let's start with this. There's no way you're going to play less games. That's always the first thing people say. Well, just less games, not an 82-game season. No one's giving up the revenue. That we can't say that with baseball, football, hockey, soccer, basketball, you name it. There is no less games. So you've got to play at least 82 games, right? And at the same time, the players aren't going to be in favor of giving up money. All right, how about we take a pay reduction so that we can load manage and then it costs less for the rights, okay? That's not going to happen either. So everyone's going to continue to get as much money as they're getting, if not more, and as many games as they're getting, if not more. You're not going to kill the greed in this thing. So you've got to find a way to work around that. I think it starts with one question. You sit down and you talk to the players' union and you say, right now, you essentially have off for 3.5 months. And that's not all of you. Most of you have off for more than that. It's just the teams that go to the finals. But you have off for 3.5 months. There's no regular season basketball for 3.5 months right now. Are you cool with that being shrunk to 2.5 months? You're just taking one additional month. One additional month. You get one less month off a year. And if you're cool with that, here's how you can break it down. Right now, you're in a situation where the Warriors started on October 24th, and they go till April 15th. You go somewhat late October to middle of April. It's a 6-month season, essentially, with 2 months of playoffs. Playoffs start mid-April, they go to mid-June. So you get 2 months of playoffs. You're not going to tweak the playoff schedule. You can still do the same playoff schedule, but you're tweaking the regular season. And instead of going from October 24th to April 15th, you go October 1st to May 15th. So you're bumping it up about one full month. Not even one full month, but you're going to take about a month away from the players in the offseason. As a result, right now, you're currently playing one game every 2.1 days. That essentially means 7 games every 2 weeks, right? So you got to play 4 games 1 week, 3 games the next week. That creates the situation for the back-to-backs. If you extend the season by 1 month, and I'm just talking the regular season, you can go from playing a game every 2.1 days to every 2.7 days. Now, that doesn't seem like a huge jump, but instead of playing 7 games every 2 weeks, you're playing 5 games every 2 weeks. You could play Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, 3 games in 1 week, and then you can come back the next week and play Tuesday, Friday, and then you go right back into the 3-game schedule. Now, every now and again, you'll have to go 3 games, 3 games, right? You'll have to play 6 games every 2 weeks to make up for it. It's like the leap year. But essentially, instead of 7 games every 2 weeks, you're playing 5 games every 2 weeks by taking 1 month away from your season. That's how that works. So the season starts October 1 instead of towards the end of October. And instead of going to April 15th, it goes to May 15th. So you're adding a little bit more than a month. Playoffs still go 2 months, mid-May to mid-July. And then from mid-July to mid-August, you're off. From mid-August to mid-September, you're off. That's 2 months. And then you have off until the beginning of October, which is the start of the season. Two and a half months. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's a way in which you can now get more rest in between your games. But you got to give something up. No one has to give up games.
Right.
No one has to give up money, but you got to give up a month of freedom in the offseason. Who says no?
That's a great, great proposal. It's a great effort, but I think 90% of the players say no because right now they've got their cake and they're eating it too because they've got the extra month of rest in the summer. Like you say, if you're on a bum team, April 15th, you're done. You don't have to come back until early September for camp. So you got a nice 4-month stretch there where you don't have to worry about it. I think that the players would look at that and say, we're good. Already we have it. We have a guaranteed contract. So if I'm a little bit nicked up, I don't have to play. I don't know what would be, quote, in it for them other than what's good for the league.
I guess it would be loss of revenue if the TV companies, if the networks wouldn't be willing to pay as much as they are. That would end up hurting their revenue. But you have to assume that they're going to pay less. And now with the rise of streaming services like DAZN, Amazon wanting to get in, Facebook wanting to get in, YouTube wanting to get in, you might have enough competition where you end up making more. And you never have to worry about fixing this problem.
True.
Because you're still going to get the money anyway.
Even if you took like a 10 or 20% pay cut, let's say the players were faced with, look, you're going to lose out a 20% pay cut or you got to give up a month of your summer. Where would that figure in your calculus? If you're a guy already making $35 million, now you're only going to make 30. Is that enough of a hit to call them to action?
Players, like you said, they just won't do it. They want that money. They want that money. I don't think they'll say, okay, I'm going to take a little. We want a little more, less time off, but we're going to get a little less money. I just don't see players anywhere moving.
It would be the same money, but you would lose a month of your summer.
Right.
And what speeds up, The people that are really only being punished are the people that are going deep in the playoffs, which at that point you're competing anyway. If you go to the finals, you have the short offseason. Like you said, half the league is still going on vacation for a big chunk of the year.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Charlotte. Don't worry, Knicks. You're still good. Knicks are still good. This doesn't even affect the Knicks. Knicks are fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Knicks should be the first ones voting for it. We're in. We're definitely in.
Right.
Summer's too long as it is.
too much free time.
Something about it, though. When they're off-season, guys love it.
Here's the thing. They love their off-season. They love their money. They love their rest. You're going to have to give something up if the money doesn't come in.
So it's going to be no. So I know. They love their off-season. They love their rest. They love their money. You're absolutely right. And they're not giving it up.
But it's interesting, though, if the money gives itself up. All of a sudden ESPN's like, you know what? We gave you $1 billion last time around. We're going to give you $600 million this time. And that's your best offer. Now the players are thinking, wait, whoa.
And you know what?
Those $15 million a year deals, they suddenly are shrinking to 6 and 7.
Exactly. And you know what they do then? They get their butts and they play. Like you said, they got their players are smarter, and like you said, they're going to keep pushing. Everyone lives in that world. It's not players; it's the world. Everything we become, it's a soft society. kids are soft. My kids are. I'm like, dude. So the more you give them, the more they're going to take. What makes you guys think these guys are any different than anybody else? It's just not.
They're the worst. The NBA guys are the worst. Yeah. Like, they're the smartest, but they're also the worst.
Because they know they can.
Yeah. They're the most self-aware. That's LeBron James's lasting legacy. Jordan changed the game for shoes. LeBron changed the game for player brands. Like, you're no longer like, hey, we're all in this together. We're going to do this and this. Nah, man, I'm going to the city I want to play with who I want for the money I want. And I will tell you when I'm going to step foot on that court.
More self-aware. That's a perfect way. And that's why the NFL is in, and it's good and it's bad. That's why they try to keep these guys like, look, they don't want AB, he took it to the extreme, can't even use him. But a lot of guys, and so they're disgruntled now, they're trying to get moved. They're trying to get moved. They're trying to do what they want because they're saying, hey, look, let's take that same approach. Every time we talk to ball players, we wish they had like basketball. They wish they did, but it's not going to happen.
Phone lines are juiced. Here's what we've got. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. We have got Does Lowe Know coming up. The mystery guest is calling in. Lowe's got 10 questions to figure out. We're going to talk to the mystery guest for a little bit. Those of you who are on hold, I see Elliot, Nick, Dre, Frank. I see, oh my God. If you guys want to hang tight, you will get on the show. We will bring you onto the show to talk about how to solve load management, your problems with load management, after the mystery guest. But first, here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Wave Broadband. The shorthanded Warrior team fell to the Rockets in Houston, but do you remember the call of the night? Well, tune in at 9:30 for Call of the Game, your chance to win a Schroeder's gift card. Now, the Dubs head next to Minnesota, where D'Angelo Russell is likely to return against the T-Wolves tomorrow. 49ers getting ready for their showdown Monday night against the Seahawks. Now, midway through, Joe Lo and Dibs want to know who's been the MVP for the Niners so far, and could Jimmy Garoppolo earn a trip to the Pro Bowl? The guys will discuss, plus wide receiver roulette is coming up at 8:45. In Thursday Night Football, we have the Raiders and Chargers in their final matchup in Oakland. Coverage starts at 4 right here on 95.7 The Game. And the best segment in radio is coming up on the other side. Does Lowe know? Lowe will have 10 questions to figure out who the mystery guest is. Will he get it right? We'll find out next. And fantasy football guru Brad Evans will join the show at 9:05. From video chatting with family to streaming music with friends, high-speed internet service from Wave brings you closer to things you love and the people you care about the most. Right now, get high-speed internet starting at $19.95 a month for 6 months. Visit GoWave.com for details. I'm Anna Kukadakis on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
But first, we have some breaking news out of the NFL.
95.7 The Game breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the midsize mattress for Mercedes-Benz.
All right, this is a bit of a hairy situation here. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, sources. 49ers kicker Robbie Gould has a strained quad that puts his availability very much in doubt for Monday night against the Seahawks. San Francisco is signing free agent kicker Chase McLaughlin. Chase McLaughlin is a rookie out of the University of Illinois. He kicked for, I think it was 4 games, I'm bringing it up right now, for the Chargers. When Michael Badgley was hurt, he was filling in for Michael Badgley with the Los Angeles Chargers. His experience is a small handful of games. As I look to bring it, I just had it. Man, this one website is just messing with me these days. Come on now. Man, the boy's trying to get things done in these parts.
It's not necessarily a great deal, Dibbers.
He didn't miss any extra points on his chances. He did miss a few field goals. Perfect from inside 40. 1 of 4 from 40 to 50. Hit 1 from outside 50. Only attempted 1. Chase McLaughlin, get to know the name. Rookie out of the University of Illinois. The Niners are signing him because Robbie Gould is dealing with a quad injury. So we'll have more on this throughout the course of the day. Keep it locked here on 95.7 The Game, and we will be breaking it down in just a moment. But first, it's the segment that has swept the great country of Guatemala. Does Lowe know? Mystery guest is on hold. Lorenzo Neal is going to have 10 questions to see if he can figure out who the mystery guest is. The mystery guest is only allowed to say yes or no as an answer to the questions. Mystery guest, I believe you are there. Thank you for joining us. No need to say anything. Nice guy, Steven. Music, please. Lo, before you begin, I will begin. Are you ready, Love?
I'm ready.
Okay, very good. Take it away.
Are you a former coach?
No.
There goes Vince Lombardi. And Steve Spurrier.
Yeah, that's
you were thinking so ball coach. You were thinking old ball coach.
Yeah, I was thinking I went with old ball coach.
9 to go.
Okay, yeah, 9 to go. So I'm looking at that. So he's not a former coach. Are you a former player?
Yes.
Interesting. The question is, what sport?
Or maybe he's just a playa.
Mm. Is it Pete Sampras, a former tennis player?
Interesting. Oh.
Are you a former teammate of mine?
Yes.
Ooh,
all right, one of the 11 stops. Yeah. Now you're in the thousands. 16 years times every single team.
Not a coach. Clearly a playa.
Teammate.
Seven to go.
Got to take... Wow, you played with so many guys. The first name that came to mind was one of your teammates.
Right.
I was trying to make a joke. I was like, damn. First name, I was like, that guy was his teammate. Peyton Manning out of the equation.
Did you play for the 49ers?
No.
31 teams left on the table.
There goes Kasim Osgood.
Possible strategic move.
I'm sharp now. Now I'm back.
He's dialed
in. I got
in.
The one wrong, but
six
I got that
questions
one.
To go.
Kasim Osgood off the table. Good friend of the program, special teams ace.
Does low know? Six to go.
Six to go here?
In slow-mo.
Well, you're doing well. You got a nice pattern going today. I'll give you that.
It's a slow
Did
developing pattern.
Did you play
pattern.
Offense?
Dibs, shut your mouth. No, don't listen to him.
No. Did you play offense?
Yes.
Okay, this is big. This is big. We just took out all special teamers and all defenders. Unless, of course, you have a Troy Brown situation here.
Could have gone both ways, Coach.
Could be a guy that played both ways.
Halfway home, five to go.
Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
Charles, is it you? Don't answer that.
Did you play running back?
No.
Okay. There's only 10 other offensive positions.
No.
Actually, no. That's guard. It's right guard versus left guard. Left tackle versus right tackle.
Flanker.
God, this is getting
back.
This is getting really interesting.
How many
here?
Questions left?
He's got four to go, Joe.
Four. Okay, big four. Take your time here, big fella. Take your time. Not a coach. Yeah. Is a teammate of yours, former player, so not someone who's currently in the league. It's an offensive-minded player.
Did not play for the Niners.
Did not play for the Niners and not a running back.
Four to go. On Does Low Know.
He's truly amping it up here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Shh, quiet, please.
Yes, please be careful. Please be careful. Please be quiet, guys.
12 feet.
It's not Augusta National.
Breaking left to right. Downhill.
Do you currently coach now?
No.
I feel like we didn't need to use that one.
Three to go.
No. Don't let me trip you up with that. I'll break down the mistakes later.
Okay.
Might have snap hooked that one in the rough, Joe.
It's okay. It's okay. It kicked off the tree. You're in the rough, but you're still alive. You got a view of the green.
Three to go.
Yes.
Got to decide whether or not you want to lay up or go for it.
Needs to start making birdies, Joe. Three to go.
I am.
That roar you hear is Tiger Woods. He just birdied again. He's breathing down your neck.
Could be my stomach. I'm famished.
Fasting today. I have to go get blood drawn later. The fact that I've kept it together this long is a testament to me.
I'm going to go with, did you play receiver?
Yes.
That's a big breakthrough.
Huge.
Breakthrough question.
He's
all
done
guards,
it.
Tackles, centers, quarterbacks, running backs, fullbacks out of the equation.
Two to go. Does low know. He's making a charge on the back nine.
Are you a man of color?
Ah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Incredible pull in the ninth question.
There goes Tim Dwight.
Normally he plays the card much earlier, the race card.
I know.
One
usually
to go.
Tries to narrow it down.
It was genius. It is a receiver, not a former 49er, and a person of color.
Did we play in Cincinnati together?
Yes.
Wow.
He's exhausted all 10 questions, Joe.
The questions are done. Lowe has really narrowed it down here. Based on this criteria, you'd have to figure there's only a handful of people that meet this ridiculous criteria.
Ridiculously
specific criteria.
I'm gonna give him my answer.
You got a guess?
He has
a guess, which is a big step up from the last couple weeks.
Yes. You're not kidding.
Guys?
Yeah.
And Mr. Guess, are you TJ, Hoos, and Gaga?
You know what the question should have been?
You want to get crazy?
Wrestle me to the ground and slam me down and run from me.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's TJ Hoos Gonzalez.
Woo! Dude, that's going to be more calm, more pendant.
Check him out on Fox Sports Now. Former wide receiver, Cincinnati Bengals. Love, take it away.
TJ, love you, brother. How have you been, my man?
I'm good.
Man, you wasn't giving me no love. You wasn't trying to help me out. You was trying to get me, bruh.
Hey, I did coach, but not in NFL. I was going to say yes for high school, but I didn't want to throw you off.
Yeah, I was throwing you off, though. I was already confused enough, brother. You know how I am. You know the big dome get confused enough. TJ, when you're watching this Niner team and you see what they've been able to do, bring in Sanders,
right.
How do you view this receiving core? How do you view this team in general, especially from an offensive perspective?
They needed somebody like him in offense from the perspective of he's been very successful in the league. He can win one-on-one battles, and he's not the biggest guy. And so when you look at the 49ers receivers, they can learn from him as far as how to beat press coverage, how to separate at the top of the routes, which I think are the two most important things for a receiver outside of catching the ball. And so just from a learning perspective and helping the other receivers out, whether he's verbally helping them, they can just sit there and watch him and learn, and it's going to open up so much in that offense. You go back to the Cardinal game. I mean, he gave Patrick Peterson the business. And how many guys do you see do that? And so from that perspective, he helps them out a lot. It's going to be a big boost for him. Jimmy G knows I have somebody that when I need a play, I can go to him because he showed it to me against one of the best corners in the league that he can consistently get open.
TJ Houshmandzadeh joining Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Your thoughts on Jimmy Garoppolo? He's coming off the ACL injury earlier in the season. A lot of people saw him as a game manager type, and then he had the big breakthrough performance in Arizona last week. How do you assess him as a quarterback still early into his career?
He's improving. He's done exactly what has been asked of him. The defense has been playing well. The running game has been awesome. And so he has been a game manager. And when the defense wasn't playing well and they weren't able to run the ball like they had, he showed up and did what you expect a quarterback of his stature to do, and that's win the game. And that's exactly what the 49ers preseason were. They were my pick to have a great year. They were my team that didn't have a great year last year and have a great year this year. So far, they're making me look pretty good.
When you look at the landscape of the NFC and where they sit undefeated, do you think that they have the ability to not only make it to the playoffs but be the top seed in the NFC and maybe even advance to the Super Bowl now?
Oh, no question. My son tells me all the time, the 49ers are going to the Super Bowl. Tells me that all the time. And so when you look at it,
Look
at the teams who they will be competing with to get to what you said, the playoffs, win the game, the Super Bowl, so forth and so on. You look at the New Orleans Saints. They can pressure Drew Brees. Drew Brees isn't very tall. They can put pressure in his face. The Saints don't have a downfield target. Michael Thomas kind of works underneath a lot. That plays into the 49ers' hand. They can get pressure on you. You don't have that deep threat. You look at the Eagles. You look at the Rams, who they've already beaten. You look at the Seahawks, who they're going to play. We'll get a feel for that game. The 49ers have a great chance of having a really special year this year.
TJ, going back in your career, I was fortunate enough to play with your rookie year, you and Chad Johnson. You guys stood out. And you guys had a veteran guy in Darnay Scott. But how big is it to have a guy like Debo that has Emmanuel, an older veteran guy? How long is that process? What is it like being – what put yourself in Debo's position, which you've been there, that you know see that has the talent, but right now we haven't been able to see everything come to the forefront. What is it like? What process is he going through?
It's just the little things, man. I remember one time, man, we played the Jacksonville Jaguars, though, and Darnay Scott comes to me at halftime. He was like, you want to play? I'm like, yeah, I want to play. He was like, all right, I'm going to get hurt the first play of the second half, and you got the rest of the game. I'm going to see what you got. And he did that, and I led the team in receiving that game in one half. And I say that to say it could be on the field. It can be off the field. Like you said with Darnay Scott, me and Darnay Scott were really good friends. And for me, it was more off-the-field stuff that I learned from D. Scott, what to do, what not to do, how to carry yourself, how to maneuver in a city that you're not familiar with. And so that's just as important as on the field, because on the field, me and Darnay were different players. And so, but am I able to learn from him? Yes, I can watch certain releases and say, I like that. But then I have to be careful because the DB's not going to play me the same way that they played D. Scott. And so, when you learn from guys, you got to understand that you're probably not going to get played the same way because they respect him more than they're probably going to respect you early on. But it's just something that you can put in your mental Rolodex and say, okay, let me try this, but I got to understand that we are two different type of players.
TJ Houshmandzadeh joining us here on 95.7 The Game. I've always wanted to ask you this. Years ago, there was that famous NFL.com commercial for the fantasy drafts where the guy's sitting around trying to pronounce your name, but he can't get your name right. He doesn't know your last name, and then the entire room full of guys drafting is furious with him, and he keeps getting it wrong, and he says, TJ, who's your mama? And the guy looks at him, and he goes, it's Houshmandzadeh. And he goes, yeah, Houshmandzadeh, championship. And everyone walked around saying that for so long. Did people come up to you and acknowledge that commercial? Like, was that a thing you had to deal with?
Oh, still to this day, I get it. And I don't mind it. It's been like that my whole life, man. You know, you get a substitute teacher in school, and they get to the Hernandez, this, and you're like, oh, they're coming up on my name. They get to my name, and they just call for it, man. I'm like, that's me. And I thought the commercial was funny. People were kind of able to relate. If they didn't know the face, they knew the name. And so there's people that I've met, and oh man, I've heard the name so much, man. Finally glad to meet you. This is when I was playing. And so, yeah, man, I thought it was funny.
Well, TJ, I'm telling you right now, you're a hell of a player, but you're a better person than you were a player. Love you, brother. You're the best. Thanks for joining the show. We'll talk real soon.
Hey, Zo, I appreciate you. I hope you ain't down there wrestling all your coworkers at the radio station, man.
No, I don't get crazy anymore, TJ. I'm about three and a half years sober, baby. I ain't get crazy no more. I only drink sharps. Hey, not alcoholic beer.
You got to tell people. Have you told stories how you used to just pin everybody on the team every day?
He has this famous one he tells in San Diego where, like, he was coming out of the showers and he was wrestling this rookie naked. It's an honest story. But LT confirmed it, and we've always looked at him differently since.
TJ, that you know, I never wrestled. What's that telling, bro?
Hey, listen, I've seen him pin guys 350 pounds, bet them big money that I can pin you in 20 seconds. And literally, we'll have them on the ground and can't move. I've seen it.
Wow.
I've seen it.
We were winning money, baby. We weren't winning games, but I was winning money. TJ was riding with me.
That's a perfect line.
TJ rode with me. He bet with me.
Oh, man. TJ, thanks so much for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
All right, y'all. Take care, man. Appreciate it.
Holla.
If the question's inappropriate, you can decline.
Yeah.
But can I ask how much you would have ever had wagered on one of these wrestling matches in the locker room?
It was.
You can give a range.
Thousands.
Okay. Yeah. Thousands of bucks that you could pin a guy, like a big lineman or someone, in X amount of time.
Within a minute.
And you would always do it?
Yeah.
Was there ever one that gave you any trouble?
No.
The shower one? Could be wet in there.
Never.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, with you.
Oh, who, me?
Turn your phone off. What is it, your first day on radio?
It's rare.
Terrible. It's absolutely,
you pulled the Kagarakis there.
No. I have my phone off.
Today?
Yeah. When have you heard it ring?
If it's not the typing
computer.
Or the Gmail chatting.
But it's not my phone.
But Dibs was totally inappropriate.
That was wildly inappropriate.
The ring, and then he's trying to get mad at the individual for calling
him. Right. It's the person's fault for calling him.
What, you leaning over
classic
to the side?
Deflector.
I mean, deflect? Come on. You've been in radio
How
now?
Dare
this is your
you.
First day of job.
If you want to look at the career penalty flag leaders for audible phone or audible computer, I'm clearly fourth. Mr. Two Phones, mistype a lot, and you have the rare hiccup.
You fourth, though.
Yeah, fourth. Yeah. Fourth. That's the first time it's ever happened to me in my 20 years in the business.
Yeah, that's... First of all, who was it that was so important?
It's spam call. It's one of those... One of those calls where they hit you with your own prefix.
Yes.
It's like, you know what, man? Of all the calls to not want to be taken, that's on me. You know what? Multiple fouls. Because I did flip my phone off. It's not a flip phone, but I gave that caller the middle finger, the silent middle finger.
My damn father-in-law was out here like a year ago.
Damn.
And I love the guy. Don't get me wrong. But he was giving me business advice on something. And I'm not going to say what it is, but it was smart advice. It was something I had to do online, something I had to register for. And it was smart advice, and I don't regret it. It was exactly what I should have done. But when I did it, the website I used to sign up, like instantaneously, floodgates opened like the next day. And since then, I've been battling calls from all over the planet. My own damn number called me once.
Right.
My known number showed up on my phone.
Freaky.
As calling me.
It's terrible.
So I love him to death, but... Marty, you got China all over me now. Russia, China. I mean, shout them out. The billions. We love you.
They tried to get me. This is your Social Security office. Your identity has been taken. Please, you need to listen to this information or there will be an award.
warrant lifted right away. Hey, what's up? Hey, just want you to know. And then some agent, you know, person gets on the phone.
Accent. Hey, I got locks tonight. Right. Right. Thursday night football.
Right, right. Like, what the heck are you talking about?
The other one is
always
the
identity's been stolen, mister. Neil.
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
The other one is the, this is an important call. You have a federal indictment out against you if you don't respond to this. I'm like, let me tell you something, buddy. If I got a federal indictment out against me, I'm not getting a robocall.
No.
Right. Government's coming right to my door.
Yep.
I call. Hey, I call your bet. Let's see him. Show me your cards.
Oh, yeah. I kept him on the phone. And I said, hey, I'm at the police station here. Oh, I've got to go.
Gotta go.
Oh, I did that once.
I get the IRS one where it's like, you know, you have a problem with your taxes. Call us immediately. The IRS will never call you.
No.
They will never.
They never tell you send money.
They will
money,
contact you in
money.
Writing. The IRS right. doesn't call people. So that's the one I always laugh at.
I want to go
you
back.
You played a game with them?
Okay. No, never.
Yeah,
never.
You play the game with them. You do the dance a little bit. I'll dance.
Yeah.
If I got time, I'll dance.
Right.
And then I'll really break it down. Like, just, you know me. Just questions tripped you up. Now here comes another question. Here comes another one. Suddenly your job doesn't sound so fun anymore. Your little con. Your little con dried up real quick as you realize you just got pretzeled. Okay, so we usually do Bob in the Billions at 8:55. We're going to put it on hiatus today because we have so many people calling.
Okay.
So I want to go to the calls. Those of you who are patient enough to wait, we love you for it, so you're going to get rewarded now. Last night, Kawhi Leonard does not play against the Milwaukee Bucks. Massive game. It's load management. It's his second load management game out of eight this season. He's played 6 of 8. He's healthy. This has caused a huge problem. We laid out some possible scenarios for how to fix the issue. We also laid out our takes. We want to hear from you. Elliot in Palo Alto. Elliot, thank you for waiting on hold. Welcome to the show. The floor is yours.
Hey, thanks for having me. So I'm a big fan of individual players in the NBA more than teams, which is different for me than other sports. And I like the new NBA with player brands dominating. I like to see guys not waste their careers because ownership is dumb. And my bigger point would be that, like, it's a very high contact sport, and the NFL has 1/6 of the games, and they don't have any problem with TV deals. So instead of adjusting like player greed or league greed, I think fans will adjust their expectations. It, like, really only hurts people who have tickets to the game. And in baseball, you could have like a ticket to a game with a high value pitching matchup, and if a guy gets scratched, you live with it, you know?
All right, appreciate the phone call. That's reasonable. Understanding the world for what it is. Real quick, from the 408 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, can Dan from the Clara get a birthday shout-out from one Dan to another?
Yeah, happy birthday, Dan from the Clara. We'll see you out there Monday. We'll be at the Hilton in the Clara, Hilton Santa Clara. Come on out and see us.
We take requests. We do that around here. We're like Adam Sandler and The Wedding Singer. Nick in Philly. Welcome to the show, Nick. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing today?
Fantastic. What's going on with you?
Not a whole lot, man. So my biggest problem with the player rest is, you know, I know they play a lot of games, but you have these teams, you know, Clippers, Lakers, Warriors, Rockets, everyone's charging an arm and a leg. You're paying $150 to sit in the nosebleeds, and then you show up, and now all of a sudden the players that you're paying all this money for aren't playing. You know, I get they have injuries that they can claim they have, and there's no real way to verify it, you know, on certain injuries, but there's got to be some sort of management as far as, you know, I don't know if it's like, these players, you know, sell this amount, like percentage of their jerseys, so they equal this much of the ticket value or something. But there's got to be some sort of compensation, I feel like, for the fans that pay $300 for two people to go to a game, and those, you know, key players aren't even showing up.
I totally understand what he's saying, though. It's got to be tough when sometimes, you know, father and son, dad's been saving up to say, look, I got great seats for us. Spent, you know, $400 or $500.
Kid's favorite player.
Kids, and he goes there and he's sitting. He said, "Where's he at, Daddy? Where's he at, Daddy? Where is he? You know, Daddy, help me find my
he's
player."
He's over there in a suit. Don't you see him?
Yeah,
he's in the second row.
Oh, Dad, he's not playing. It's got to be tough. So I do understand and sympathize with that.
My solution, I think, is too dynamic. It's not society's not ready for my solution. It's exit pricing. We've talked about it before with dynamic pricing. Prices go up and down depending on how good a team is. In this case, you'd have exit pricing. If you go to the game and you don't get Kawhi Leonard, you get 20% back. Maybe it's a gift card. Maybe if you're a season ticket holder, it goes to your account. It's exit pricing.
Does it only apply to players who don't play? Haven't you mentioned before that if the team really stinks?
That's fine. I mean, if you go out there and Steph...
If the team stinks, it's okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
If Steph goes out there and he's 2 for 24 from the floor... that's just a bad beat. He had a bad game. You're not guaranteed a great performance, but you're guaranteed a performance.
Okay? I think that you saw the problem.
Exit
though.
Pricing low.
I love it. I think you're too far ahead of your time.
See,
again, you're too far ahead of your time.
But once again, too far ahead
like
of my
Nikola
time.
Like Nikola Tesla.
No, I think
actually, how about having a player?
They're stampeding you, low.
I think. Oh no, it's fine. No, I was just going to say players should stay.
Stampede back, nice counterpunch.
They should double stampede.
It's a bunch of elephants there.
I think players should actually have to be there. If they know they're not playing and you know that, you should have an hour and a half that they have to be there early instead of warming up all that stuff. And they got to sign autographs.
Literally going to say, I swear to you, I was literally thinking the same exact thing.
See, this is a gravy train take.
No,
she's trying to gravy train your take.
On the gravy
take
train.
By Lo. Anna trying to steal a take. That's a stolen take.
Right.
Trey in Oakland, I see you. You're going to be up next. I see you. We're up against the hard out. I apologize for that. We're coming back. We're coming back hot. Brad Evans, too. Yahoo Fantasy Sports. Light him up. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Call of the game at 930 as well. Chance to win $150. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.